listening to The Road to Fabulous with Sandy Grayson, only on LA Talk Radio.
On LA Talk Radio for my weekly celebration of life and shoes and hot moguls and building an empire and finding your mojo. And today I'm going to be talking to a hot mogul who has definitely found his mojo. We're going to be talking about lessons from lipstick and fun in dysfunction. And are you ready to turn lemons into margaritas, which is much better than lemonade? So before I introduce my fabulous hot mogul guest today, I would like to just define the word mogul. Some people think it means being greedy, being Gordon Gekko. I believe, actually dictionary.com says that the definition of a mogul is anyone who is important, powerful, an influential person. And my definition of hot mogul is anyone operating at a very high level in their life. It's not about being that ruthless business owner and stepping on people in order to be successful. And it's not about working your fingers to the bone in order to obtain some version of success that you've seen or read about. I am interested in introducing you to hot moguls who are doing work they love and giving back their passion to the world. And this is what The Road to Fabulous is all about. The hot moguls that you meet each and every week are all very different in their approach. They're building their empires in very different ways. But the common denominator, the reason that I want you to meet them, is in the way they express themselves in the world. They all have that mojo, that they're doing work that's exciting and passionate, and you can feel it when you're with them. It's an energy that just oozes out of them. And you have it too. And I'm here to help you. So maybe you lost your mojo. Maybe you might not know exactly what it is that's going to help you express your fabulousness. That's what the intention of the show is all about, to introduce you to people that will inspire you, people that you've heard about, that you've read about, that you've seen on TV, and have a brand new conversation with them. The kind of conversation that you'd like to have if you were sitting at a fabulous cocktail party. And I also want you to be able to take something away from this conversation, something that you can apply in your own life today. So sit back, grab a virtual or a real cocktail, whatever time it is, wherever you are, and enjoy the conversation. Today, I'm so excited about my guest. He is known as the Comeback Coach. Mark McIntosh entertains and inspires audiences of all kinds and all ages with his inspirational presentations, books, workshops. He encourages others to run to daylight and play like a champion despite life's challenges. We're going to talk to him more about that. He's the father of two, and he shares simple but really effective strategies that he's learned from his own life challenges with painful divorces and debilitating injuries and corporate restructuring that's forced him at many stages of life to effectively deal with change and challenges and adversity. And in addition to all of his speaking and writing and coaching, Mark is actually the co-host of KUSA-TV's Colorado & Company, which is in Denver on NBC. And prior to that, for 21 years, Mark was a sportscaster. And he's won the Westward's Best Sports Anchor. And I'm really excited I got the opportunity to go and visit Mark on set in Denver at NBC at Colorado & Company, and he is just fabulous, and I can't believe that he does all of these things, and every single day he's on TV putting on a show, and then he's writing all of these books. So, Mark, welcome to The Road to Fabulous.
Thank you so much. It's such a pleasure to be here, you know, and it's 4:04 in the Mile High City, so It's not time for a virtual cocktail. It's time for a real cocktail.
So,
and it's funny, we're getting ready. I had a great meeting earlier today with a company. It's called Coyote Gold Margaritas. And we are going to have kind of a statewide, region-wide Comeback Coach Pep Talk series that moves throughout the Rocky Mountain region. You know, these challenging times can encourage others to run to daylight and play like a champion and turn their lemons into margaritas. And Coyote Gold is going to be the sponsor. And so I've got a big old jug of Coyote Gold margaritas upstairs that when we get done here, I might break into.
I think you should crack that open. Yeah.
There
so
you go.
Your virtual, your actual cocktail today is going to be a margarita, and I am going to join you. So
right
what
on.
Kind of margarita do you normally drink when you order?
Well, whichever one you're putting in front of me.
Yeah.
It's a regular old margarita with salt on the rocks.
You're a salt guy. Okay, me too.
Yeah,
I love salt.
Yeah, on the rocks.
On the rocks with salt. Fabulous.
And you?
I'm going to join you. I have to have
there
salt. I definitely need salt. I always make fun of my husband. He likes the fruity, like the mango margaritas and the strawberry. I'm like,
oh
no,
my.
Give it to me straight up with some salt. Definitely. I love it.
Well, next
so
time
cheers.
I see him, I might have him give him a little trouble about that he likes the fruity margaritas.
He likes everything pink, my husband. I know, my poor husband. I make fun of him. So, Mark, tell me, why don't you tell our listeners how you got the name, The Comeback Coach?
The Comeback Coach. Well, you know, it started back in high school, basically. I was a three-sport high school All-American. I grew up in Kansas City, Missouri. I had just signed, this is February of 1976, so what, about 33 years ago today. I had just signed a letter of intent to play football at the University of Missouri. I was a quarterback and a defensive back. I was a couple of months from being a projected first-round selection in the amateur baseball draft. I was a center fielder, a five-tool player, as they say. I could run, I could throw, I could field, I could hit, and I could hit with power, a five-tool player. So I've got the athletic world by the tail, living my dream, right? Well, then I'm running down the floor in a high school basketball game, running back on defense. Teammate knocks the ball away, so suddenly we're back on offense. So I turned, and I'm running full speed down to the offensive end of the floor. A teammate threw me a pass, and so I'm kind of trying to run underneath it like a wide receiver would. Guy on the other team was running across the floor, tried to knock the ball away, missed the ball, poked me in the eye. Drove my eyeball back into my brain, which led to a rapid drop in blood pressure, so I'm staggering across the court. I can't see a thing. I passed out. Smacked head first to the floor. I'm laying there in a pool of blood, in seizure. I had fractured my skull. I had broken all the bones in your middle ear that control your equilibrium and depth perception. So guess what, Sandy? I couldn't judge fly balls anymore. When I went down, I landed on my entire left side, so I ripped up all the rotator cuff muscles in my left shoulder. And guess what? I'm left-handed, so I couldn't throw anymore. And I'm deaf in my left ear from smacking my head against the floor. So my athletic career was over from this poke in the eye. So I go off to college and thought, well, if I can't be the best athlete, I'll try to be the best partier. Well, depends on what your definition of the best partier is, but I was lost, Sandy. I had lost my identity. So I get through college, and I was in a real mode of playing follow the follower. I get out of college. All my buddies were going into sales, and people would always said, McIntosh, you could sell ice to the Eskimos. And so I went into sales. But I still had no idea what I wanted to do with my life. And then finally, I was living here in Denver in a dead-end job, and I was watching one of the local stations here, the sportscaster. His name's Ron Zappolo. He was doing a live shot in the Broncos locker room, and I just kind of almost came up off the couch and said, I want to do what he's doing. I want to be a sportscaster like Ron Zappolo. So I ran to daylight. I went back to graduate school, got my master's in journalism, and began my sportscasting career. But while I was in school, I met a lady. We fell in love. She's also in the TV business out in Los Angeles. We fell in love. We got married. We had a child who's now our college freshman. But after 8 years, that marriage ended in painful divorce. Short while later, met another lady. We fell in love. We had a child who just left me a note underneath my nose. She's my sixth grade drama queen. But after 5 years, that marriage ended in painful divorce. Not long after that second divorce, after 20-some years of being a sportscaster, that job was eliminated because of corporate downsizing. My message to folks, Sandy, is guess what, folks? Life will poke you in the eye with these unexpected and unwanted things that come our way. But when I was growing up, every day I used to dress in the Raytown South High School locker room, and I'd look up and there was a big sign on the locker room wall that was right in my line of sight. And Sandy, it said, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. And I'm here to encourage others, to give them hope and confidence that despite the pokes in the eye they've had, despite the adversity they've had in their life, it's not the adversity that matters, it's the outcome that does. Let's run to daylight and play like a champion in the game of life, despite all the stuff that comes your way. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Are you there? Sandy?
Are you? Oh, can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can.
Okay, I'm sorry. There was something happening with my microphone.
No problem.
Yeah, I was talking to you, and no one was listening.
Oh. So that is why I'm known as the comeback coach. And so today, you know, I'm out always through my speaking, through my books and my pep talks and my workshops and my coaching, that I'm just there to encourage people to effectively deal with change, challenge, and adversity, because we all have it. And it's, you know, to try to encourage people, Sandy, to not become a victim of circumstance, instead become a student of the experience.
That is such great advice. And you're living it. You're a living, breathing example of what you're bringing to the world now. Can you tell everybody exactly what you mean? Because, you know, this show is a lot about shoes and being fabulous, and not everybody might know what it means to run to daylight.
Sure. Well, run to daylight, you know, means that really, in a nutshell, it's to be limited only by your imagination and not your fears in creating productive choices to the challenges you face. You know, and I think as we go through life, Sandy, and we've had, say, a serious head injury, we've had a couple of marriages that didn't work out despite everything you could think of to try to keep them together. You've lost a job. You've lost a spouse to, you know, illness and death, etc. That we've got to not be a victim of the circumstances of our life, instead become a student and continue to be limited only by our imagination and not our fears. Because when we go through all those things, suddenly we get all this residue of fear and self-doubt that starts building up inside of us that robs us of the courage to go for it, to run to daylight. And so when I say run to daylight, it's basically challenging people to put fear and self-doubt aside and go for it. Maybe it's starting your own talk show. Maybe it is, you know, starting a new job. Maybe it is asking out the person that you were afraid to. You know what I'm saying? It's just stepping outside your comfort zone, running the daylight.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, I tell people that all the time, that when you get those butterflies in your belly, it means that you're on the right path. You have to keep going. And each time you push through that, push through that fear or push through that, you grow a little bit more and you get a little bit bigger.
You know, I'm a big fan of Ralph Waldo Emerson's, and he would call that, and I talk about this when I'm presenting Run the Daylight, when you feel that vibration of the iron string within, and then you got the courage to follow that intuition, that's guts. Because you'll have a lot of people saying, you're going to do what? What? You'll have people, primarily yourself, I think, a lot of times. We will talk ourselves out of something. How many times have your listeners out there had a great idea, and then before they even have a chance to act on it, they one, talk themselves out of it, or, you know, they go running off to somebody and they share their idea and that person's not as excited about it, so then they begin to doubt that. You ever been there?
Yes.
Yeah, many times, you know. And so it comes down to courage. I think without question, the biggest battle, and I think it's a daily battle that we all face, is, you know, you wake up and you got fear and self-doubt on one shoulder, and you got courage and wonderment on the other. Mm-hmm. And it's for me, it's like, okay, who's going to win the battle today? You know, my constant friends, who's going to win?
That's true.
And, you know, so.
I have a club I call the Hot Moguls Club. And today we had call-in coaching hours where they get to call me. I sit at my desk for about 2 hours, and whoever gets through gets to ask me questions. And that
Very
was
cool.
really, the theme today was a lot of people were dealing with the fear of picking up the phone and making calls that they knew they needed to make. One woman also had shared part of a novel with someone, and she was feeling that inner critic that wanted to edit everything that came through. Yes. So you have written a lot of books, and you have this brand new book called Lemons into Margaritas.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about how this book was born and how you managed to write all of these books?
Sure. Well, I write each week, and people can see these. I write a pep talk, and you can see them on my website, which is www.heycomebackcoach.com. But I've been a writer and a journalist for 25 years. I've always loved to write. So the books just came naturally. But this last book, Lemons into Margaritas, as you mentioned previously, I do host a show in Denver. It's called Colorado and Company. It's on Channel 9, the NBC affiliate. And it's a wonderful show where we have businesses that come on and talk about their products and services. They pay to come on the show. We have nonprofits that come on the show. They talk about their mission. They don't have to pay. And we also have a lot of authors and entertainers and all that. It's kind of like a variety show. And I like to joke that I feel like Mike Douglas. Now, for a lot of your listeners, they might say, Mike Douglas, who in the heck is he? So I'm dating myself there a little bit. But
I know who Mike Douglas is. Yes.
Yeah, it's like a variety show. That's what. And you've seen it. You've been in the studio. You've been on the set. So you know what I'm talking about. But anyway.
It's great.
So we have a lot of authors that come through Denver because Denver is a big book market, highly educated workforce, lots of disposable income. So these authors who are on national book tours, they always stop in Denver. So they always end up on our show. This was about 2 years ago. We had these two guys on the show. They're brothers. They had just written Honeymoon with My Brother. And it's the story of this one guy. His name was Franz, who had dated a woman off and on for 10 years. And from the minute he met this woman, Sandy, it was love at first sight for him. But for her, she was very career-oriented and somewhat commitment phobic. And so she was always moving around the country, chasing her career and breaking up with this guy frequently. But finally, after 10 years, they're getting married. They plan this lavish wedding for Marin County. People are flying in from all over the world. Guess what happened the night before the wedding?
What?
She called it off.
Oh, gosh.
He's devastated. But his younger brother, who was to be his best man, and a guy who was never really a big fan of this woman to begin with, because he knew the roller coaster that his brother had been on with this woman for a decade. He said to Franz, hey, we got all these people already in town. And, you know, tomorrow, on what would have been your wedding day, we are going to have the biggest party you've ever seen to celebrate the first day of the rest of your life without that. I can't say it on radio. So they have this grand party, have a blast, and toward the end of the evening, the jilted groom looks at his younger brother and says, you know, I got these two tickets that I was supposed to take that woman on a honeymoon to Costa Rica. What do you say, you and me go? So the two brothers head off to Costa Rica, have a blast, end up quitting their jobs and traveling the world for 2 years. Thus, they wrote the book Honeymoon with My Brother. So now they're on our show. They're telling us all about the hilarious exploits they got into. And Franz was telling us they were at a book signing. He slides the book across the table to the little old lady from Pasadena. She looks him right in the eyeballs and says, Sonny, you didn't turn lemons into lemonade. You turned lemons into margaritas.
Yay!
That's where the title of the book was born. But it's a book, Sandy, of inspirational short stories from my life as a community member, as a friend, as the host of Colorado and Company, as a speaker who travels around the country, as a journalist. There are inspirational stories and specific strategies encouraging others to effectively deal with change, challenge, and adversity, to turn their lemons into margaritas.
Into margaritas. Cheers.
Yeah.
Well, You're listening to The Road to Fabulous on LA Talk Radio, a virtual cocktail party today. We're talking to author, speaker, coach, amazing hot mogul, Mr. Mark McIntosh, about his brand new book, Lemons into Margaritas. So, Mark, I'm lucky enough to have a copy of your book. In fact, if you need to get a copy of Mark's book, you really, really want to check it out. Make sure you go to his website. It's heycomebackcoach.com, www.heycomebackcoach.com. You can also check out all kinds of amazing videos that Mark's got there. He gives these pep talks every week, and it's just like, yeah, if you need a break, if you need to get lifted up, go check out his videos and make sure they can get a copy of your book on the website, right, Mark?
You betcha. And then, and thank you for mentioning the pep talks. And when you, if you go to the website, heycomebackcoach.com, just click on the TV link and then you can watch the pep talk videos that are there.
And they are really, they're really good. Okay. So one of the stories that caught my eye, of course, on The Road to Fabulous is called Lessons from Lipstick.
You betcha.
Do you remember that one?
Lessons from Lipstick. You're going to have to remind me. I had a grab on my books.
I knew I was going to do that to you. I can't tell you how many times people ask me
just give me
something.
A brief reminder. Lessons from Lipstick.
Okay, so you were interviewing one of the stars of the hit TV show Lipstick Jungle, Brooke Shields.
That's right. It was Brooke Shields.
And at the end of the interview, she said, and I'll read you the quote, "You need to know what you want and how to ask for it."
Amen. Yeah, and that gets back to what we were talking about. I think, well, one, you have to get very clear, and thank you for, I loved writing that story. So what can we learn from this for your listeners? Okay, first, we've got to get absolutely clear. We have to have such clarity who we are, because until you know who you are, how can you ever know what to ask for? And now, so look at my life. Back when I was, after I got injured, I had no clue who I was. I had lost my identity. And so I kind of staggered through life until I was 26 years old and was just sitting in my little old one bedroom apartment, and I saw this other guy and he inspired me. I saw another sportscaster and he inspired me to run to daylight. But so until I had an absolute certain idea of who I wanted to be, I didn't know what to ask for. You know, and so I think obviously the first thing we have to do is we got to get very honest with ourselves. What vibrates that iron string within? What makes you get up in the morning excited? Because I think those are real bells and whistles and everything going off saying that is your purpose. That is what you're called to do. And then you got to know how to ask for it, and you got to have the guts to go for it. Because people will go, "What? You're doing what?
Right.
You know, why are you going to do that?" And a lot of times, I think when people cut down your dreams and your goals like that, Sandy, I think in some ways, sometimes it's out of jealousy that they wish they had the guts to go for it.
Exactly.
Because I think there's a lot of people out there that are, you know, they feel trapped in terms of, you know, I've been doing this for 20 years. I make a good living at it. My gosh, you know, to shift gears now and go do this. No, I can't do it. And then they don't have a whole lot of passion for life.
Right.
Yeah. So
it's like there's good news and there's bad news when you follow your passion. The bad news is some of those people that have chosen not to do it will be jealous and they will try to pull you down. But the good news is when you follow your passion, when you are doing what you love, that energy spills over and gives the people around you permission to do what they're meant to do too.
Amen. Amen. And then you will just by the good energy you're throwing out there, the old law of attraction, how'd you and I meet?
Great. Very magically. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, when you're really in alignment, just my personal opinion, but I think, I think I'd get a couple of amens here, but when you're really in alignment with your calling, you know, the energy that you're throwing out there is so positive and it's so, loving and, nurturing and positive and just creative that bank, bank, bank just starts bouncing back at you.
Well, I just love that quote. You know, I just love the way you summed up what she said about that, that first you got to get clear. Because if you're not clear, then you, like you said, you're just going to bounce around from project to project. You're going to feel like one of those pinballs in a pinball machine.
Yeah.
But you get clear, and then there's that really, really important second piece, which is you got to have, you said guts, but I say you got to have the balls to ask for it. You got to have belief and authenticity and live out loud. Oh. That's what balls stands for. Liciousness and superhero. And you have to just go for it despite your fear, despite those butterflies. So I love that. Mark, do you have a favorite, or can you tell us maybe one more story from your book that you really love?
Oh gosh, there's so many in there that, I think one that just jumped out, it's called Yes or No. And, this is a story of, anybody, I'm sure some of your listeners out there have seen the show on ABC, Extreme Home Makeover. And, it so happened that, one week they focused on this young couple in St. Louis, Missouri, that they had, I believe, an 8-year-old daughter, and then they had like twin boys that were like 4 years old, both with developmental challenges, one with some very severe developmental challenges. Well, because of the challenges the kids had, the wife is a nurse, but she had to stay home. And so, you know, they were living off of the father's income, and he did fairly well, but money was always tight, and they lived in a house in St. Louis that just didn't work for one of their young boys, Evan, because he needs a walker to walk, and you had to go up a couple of steps just to get into the house, and as soon as you walked into the house, you immediately faced these steep stairs to the second floor, or a real tight turn to the right or left to get to the other rooms on the first floor of the house. So like Evan had to be carried into the house, and then once he got into the house, his movement was severely restricted because this was an old house that, you know, just didn't work for him. Well, Extreme Home Makeover gets word of this, comes in, knocks down that old house, builds this beautiful new home that's wide open with a gently sloping ramp from the street up to the front door, you know, and then suddenly Evan is like a hell on wheels. You know, he's just flying around the first floor. There was an elevator that took him down into this beautiful playroom. He began to be much more verbal, and, you know, he just was developing before their eyes. And then the father, toward the end of the show, you know, he's being interviewed, and he's got tears rolling down his cheeks, and he's looking into the camera, and he's going, you know what? Our old house said no to Evan, but our new house says yes. And I would like to challenge people to look at our own lives and in our thoughts and our words and our actions. Do they say yes or do they say no? And where it says no, maybe right now, as they're listening to you and me, it's time to start saying yes.
Yes.
And the sidebar to all this, Sandy, this young couple that, and the husband who had tears rolling down his cheeks and said, our old house said no, our new house says yes, is my former brother-in-law.
Wow.
From my first marriage.
Wow. What
and
a great
story. I was sitting, I was bawling my eyes out like a little baby. But, you know, and so is our lives saying yes or our lives saying no?
That is a really great question for you to ask yourself right now. Are you saying yes to life as you listen to the fabulous Mark McIntosh, the comeback coach on the road to fabulous today? Are you saying yes to life? Or have you been saying no? And it's not too late. You can start saying yes right now. Right now.
Amen. Amen.
So,
you know,
Mark,
I got a little three-way test. You know, somebody might say, well, I don't know. I don't know if I'm saying yes or no. Ask yourself this. When you wake up tomorrow morning and you look yourself in the mirror, think about this. This is the comeback coach. This is the comeback coach's three-way test. And whenever I'm out presenting Run to Daylight, we always, toward the end, we always get to this. When you wake up in the morning and you look yourself in the mirror, ask yourself three questions. Do my thoughts, my words, and my actions honor me? Am I proud of who I am? Secondly, do they nurture those dependent upon me? My children, my spouse, my significant other, my coworkers, my neighbors. And then finally, do my thoughts, my words, my actions add value to the communities I serve? If you can say yes to those three, I think your life is saying yes. And if it's not saying yes in any of those three, then where there might be a no, we need to focus there and let's see what we can do to change that.
Wow. Okay. So your three-way test is you look yourself in the mirror and you ask these three things. Do your thoughts, your words, and your actions, do they, number one, do they honor me?
Yeah.
Do they nurture?
I mean, those dependent upon me.
Do they nurture
like
those
your husband,
dependent upon me?
Children.
Yes. Yes.
And then finally, are they adding value to the communities you serve? And if you don't answer yes, 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 run like heck from whatever you're thinking about doing.
That is great. Run to daylight. Now, okay, so one of the things I heard you say recently, and I can't remember how you explained it, so I'm going to ask you to do it one more time, is you talk about being a jock. Now, I'm somebody who's very girly, and I like to wear high shoes, and I tell my husband when I go camping, I like to camp at a 5-star hotel.
Hey, you remind me of my girlfriend.
So can I be a jock, and what does that mean?
Of course, of course. Each and every person who's listening to this show today, Sandy, can be a jock. Because, you know, here I said I'm almost 51 years old, you know, and I've been a jock my whole life, but I'm kind of falling apart. You know, I've got a bad knee, I got a bad back, my shoulder still hurts, that cataract in one eye, and I got another cataract in the other from the poke and the blow to the head, blah, blah, blah. But I aspire to be a jock each and every day, and each one of your listeners can too, because when you're a jock, you understand that life was meant to be joyful. Count your blessings. I mean, you know, most of us have a roof over our heads. Most of us are fairly healthy. A lot of people are losing their jobs, but there's many things to be joyful about. When you're a jock, you also understand that life was meant to be, optimistic. Let go of any past hurts and disappointments. Keep an optimistic attitude toward life. The law of circulation, I promise you, it'll come bouncing back at you. Now, when you're a jock, Sandy, you do understand that life often requires C, courage. Courageously eliminate any self-destructive behavior that's preventing you from expressing yourself in healthy and productive ways. What are you putting in your body? What are you putting in your mind? Who are you hanging out with? Are they raising you up? Are they dragging you down? Are you hanging out with the negatoids or the positrons? Courageously eliminate any self-destructive behavior. All right, I might be a dumb old jock, but I know the acronym JOCK is J-O-C-K. If you're joyful for the blessings present, optimistic about the future, courageous despite the past, what's the K? You're going to have a kick-ass life.
Yes, I want to give you like a high five and say, you rock.
There's a jock inside of each and every one of us.
I'm so excited. I am a jock. I'm a jock. I'm going to say it out loud right now.
There you go. Whether you have an athletic bone in your body, there's a jock. And stay tuned. Coming soon, we're going to have jock athletic gear.
Oh, awesome.
Going to be very cool for women and men. When you go to Pilates, when you go to yoga, when you go to the gym, you can have your jock workout gear on. And people go, jock? Yeah, I'm joyful, optimistic, courageous. I'm kicking some ass. Can we say that on radio?
Definitely. Absolutely. Okay. We're going to say kick ass. Okay. We want each and every one of our listeners to have a kick ass life. And this is how you do it. We're talking live today on the Road to Fabulous to Mark McIntosh, author of Lemons into Margaritas. And we're talking about being a jock, joyful, optimistic, courageous, and having a kick-ass life. That's awesome.
Amen.
I love that.
Amen. Yeah. Fabulous. Yeah.
Okay. So, Mr. Jock, Mr. Comeback Coach, you have faced this amazing life head on, taken your challenges, gotten back up, come back over and over again. I want to ask you, when was the last time you were afraid? And what do you do? Do you have any tricks that you use to overcome your fear when it comes up?
When was the last time I was afraid? You know, every day. I think there's, you know, I think it's a real, you know, the people that are, you know, and this is no knock again. There's a lot of people in the self-help world of or motivational speakers or wellness world, as we know. And, you know, I think maybe there's some people that might try to paint that nothing ever goes wrong. Well, that's not true. And I, you know, one of the big things that I like to talk about, Sandy, is that, heck, you know, like we talked about earlier in this discussion, I almost every day wake up and you know, I have to make a conscious decision. Who's going to win the battle today? Mr. Fear and Self-Doubt or Mr. Courage and Wonderment? You know, and what I do to get through it is that I understand that really, in almost all the wonderful, big, exciting, cool, fabulous things of my life, it has always come down to courage overcoming fear, to step through it. I think to think that you're not going to have fear, I think, is unrealistic. So the key is, okay, I know fear is going to be here, but I'm not going to let fear defeat me. I'm not going to let fear get in the way of my dreams. Instead, I'm going to remember that courage is the soul of my dreams, and I'm going to go for it. Run to daylight.
That's great. You know, it's funny because I've interviewed a lot of people on my show already, even though we're a fairly new show. And that's really, I feel, the mission, part of my mission is to shatter this myth that authors, celebrities, people who are successful, people that we tend to hold up as, you know, famous and successful, that they've got some secret. And I've noticed every single time I ask my guests, when was the last time you were afraid? Across the board, they all say yesterday or this morning.
Earlier today.
Right. And they continue to challenge themselves. They don't let themselves get to that comfort place where they're not being challenged. They have found almost, you know, this comfortableness in being uncomfortable, you know, challenging and moving through the fear. And it's not an unusual feeling for them.
Oh, well, and I would, you know, quite often, you know, and obviously I've been an athlete my whole life. I've hung around athletes as a sportscaster and, you know, but I think this applies across the board. This isn't just from athletics, but where do we most often learn the most and grow the most? It is when we have not been successful at something. But the fact that you're in the game, so to speak, that you tried to write a book, you tried to speak in public, or whatever the attempt was that took you from moving from fear to action and having the courage to act. Okay, so maybe it didn't necessarily go the way you wanted it to. You know, and I'm thinking of Edison. What, you know, he said when, you know, 10,000 different ways he tried to figure out a light bulb, and he said, you know, I haven't failed. I've just figured out ways that don't work. But you learn, you grow, you progress. You become superior to your former self. You're not going to do that sitting on the couch eating bonbons.
Right.
You know, and so again, I tend to simplify things maybe, you know, too much. I don't know. But I really think that when you drill down to the core of life, it is that constant. I don't, maybe it's not a battle, but it's that daily challenge of courage overcoming fear. Courage to ask for the promotion. Courage to, you know, whatever.
Yeah, courage to put those words down on the page, even if you don't think they're brilliant yet.
Yeah.
Courage to pick up the phone and call that person that makes you nervous.
Exactly. And then, isn't it amazing that once you jump over that hurdle, step through that door, take that leap of faith, call it whatever you want, and then you look back 6 months down the road and you're farther down the road, and then you look back and go, I can't believe that, you know, I was hung up there. And that doesn't mean that there's not going to be more fear versus courage down the road, but, you know, it's amazing how those 6 inches between our ears will grind us to a halt.
It's true. It's really
true. You know,
true.
And I love, and every audience member that hears Run to Daylight, I quote Shakespeare. And, you know, this constant battle between courage and fear, it's a problem that has plagued mankind, Sandy, forever. 400 years ago, William Shakespeare said, our doubts are traitors that make us lose the good we oft might win by fearing to attempt.
Wow. Wow. This is Sandy Grayson, and you are listening to The Road to Fabulous. My guest today is Mark McIntosh, the author of Lemons into Margaritas. We are having a fabulous conversation about fear and how to step through that fear and continue to challenge. And that is the common denominator I've seen with all my guests. We talked with Tony Hsieh of Zappos.com a couple of weeks ago, who was running a billion-dollar company and was on Celebrity Apprentice this week. Yes.
Yeah.
And he told me that he continues to challenge himself. His thing is public speaking. You, Mark, get up in front of thousands and thousands of people all the time, and I'm sure when you first started speaking, it made you very nervous, and now it's kind of old hat.
You know, deer in the headlights. Man, when I look back on some tapes from my early television career, I go, my God, how did anybody ever hire that guy? <You know? laughs> But it is, and I can remember, you know, I always dreamed of being the quarterback. And some people, oh, God, there's no way I'd want to be the quarterback. Because, man, what if you throw an interception? I said, but what if you throw a touchdown pass? So I think it's so much, and this kind of gets back to, you know, how we think about ourselves, you know, and, you know, I think so much of that is, you know, growing up, what kind of environment did you grow up? Were your parents kind of positive minded people? And if they weren't, then maybe some of those seeds of doubt and fear, you know, and so it's not as easy. I was very fortunate. I mean, I grew up around parents and a family that they always encouraged me to chase my dreams. And then I had great coaches that saw the talent that I had and kept encouraging me. That didn't mean they didn't chew my butt when I deserved and all that kind of stuff. But I think that leads to another point of, you know, there might be some people that didn't have that advantage, but it's really the second point in Run to Daylight is that we have to understand we're not alone. There's a lot of people that might be in the same boat like that. They're growing up, didn't have a lot of positive influences, and so, you know, it's more of a hurdle perhaps for them than it might be for somebody else. But understand you're not alone, and go out and seek like-minded people. We need each other. Teamwork is the key to success. If you see people that you go, boy, you know, I like what they got, you know, and that's one of the things I really admire about you, Sandy, man. You know, the way you connect with people. You see somebody go, I want to connect with them, and you go connect with them. And I think we can all, wherever anybody is, they can learn from that you're not alone. There are other people going through this, so go connect with like-minded people that have a positive attitude toward becoming superior to their former selves. Maybe it's losing weight, finding a job, quitting drinking, quitting smoking, getting out of destructive relationships. There are people out there just like you, and go find the ones that are trying to run to daylight and play like a champion.
Yeah, surround yourself with those people. Yeah,
It takes effort.
It does.
It's not going to happen sitting on the couch.
It's not going to happen. Well, what happens a lot of times as you begin to grow and change, the people that are around you will either grow and change with you, or they'll want to keep you where you are because it's more comfortable for them too. You're making them a little uncomfortable as you grow.
Yeah.
So it's a really good lesson to look for those like-minded people as you grow and change and surround yourself with them.
And that's not easy. You bring up a great point in that, you know, it might mean that some people that used to be buddies are no longer buddies. But if, think about this, if you are growing in ways that honor you, nurture those dependent upon you, and add value to the communities you serve, and you have people around you that are criticizing that, I think you need to really look at you know, was this really a friend? Now, it gets a little more complicated if that's a spouse or if that's a boss. But, you know, I think that's where you got to have some courage to sit down and go, hey, I don't understand. It seems as if where I'm going is creating some angst in here. So can we talk about this, you know?
And I have found in my own life that as I grow, I've grown so much. And, you know, luckily I've been with the same man for 23 years, and he's watched me go from a young 19-year-old girl to the hot mogul that I am now. And he hung in there with me through all the roller coaster ride. Mm-hmm. But I have found many of my friends have kind of fallen by the wayside. And I just keep setting that intention of who I want to be in the world. And I know that the people I'm supposed to be with will hang in there with me, and they'll support me, and they'll love me. And even if they get a little uncomfortable, they'll still, you know, call me and reach out to me. And then the other ones that kind of went, you know, went their own way, that's good too. You know, I'm moving and changing, and you got to have faith that you will not be alone on this journey, that you will attract the people that are supposed to be there to support you. So that is really good advice, Mark. Really good. I'm going to ask you, I have to ask you a fun question now. And, I'm very curious to hear how you're going to answer this. So.
Oh my gosh.
What?
Should I sit down?
No, don't sit down, but this is one of my fun questions I like to ask my guests. So if your house is on fire and every person is safe, every animal is safe, what is the one thing that you grab before you run out? What's your most treasured possession?
Oh, my gosh. So the house is on fire.
Right.
The kids are safe. Bullet, my faithful cat, is safe. I like to joke, she's the only woman who hasn't walked out, but she knows I change her litter box and feed her. But house is on fire, kids are safe, animals are safe, and I have time just to grab one thing. Wow. Nothing material really comes to mind. Wow. That's a great question, and I am going to say it would probably, you know what it might be? Down here in my office, and I have an office here in the house, when I ever get, because I sometimes, I'll sit down here, and as I write these weekly pep talks, and again, people can sign up for them at heycomebackcoach.com, I'll get a lot of responses from people. And I'll get responses from people saying, you know what, this is exactly what I needed to hear today. Because I was thinking about doing something stupid. And your message, whether it's yes or no, whatever, has inspired me to run to daylight and play like a champion. So anyway, I'll print out a lot of these emails, and I just got them packed up in my office for those days when I'm feeling fearful, Sandy, that does anybody really give a hoot about this, what I'm doing here, I would probably try to grab as many of those. Just as a reminder to me that, this is symbolic, this is truth, this is fact, that the comeback coach and his run to daylight, play like a champion message, his pep talks, his workshops, his coaching is making a difference and helping people effectively deal with change, challenge, and adversity. So I think I'd just try to grab a couple of these and head out the door.
That's great. And to remind yourself that what you do matters. I can tell you personally, professionally, across the board, I've only known you a short time, but I know for sure you are having a huge impact on so many people's lives, and what you do really, really matters. So for all of my listeners out there, please make sure you go and visit Mark, the Comeback Coach. Once again, his website is www.heycomebackcoach.com. You can pick up a copy of his brand new book, Lemons into Margaritas. Make sure you sign up to get his weekly pep talks, which will be exactly what you need, delivered to your box. Each and every week, you can get a little dose of Mark. I know I've loved having you here on the Road to Fabulous, Mark. I got a little shout out from Megan in Australia, who's listening today, and she says, this guy, Mark, is great. So you have some fans in Australia.
Thank you. You know, and we connected via Twitter, correct? And
yes.
I think I'd like to encourage all your listeners out there that you talk about we're not alone. We need each other. Teamwork's the key to success. Social networking is a wonderful way to really realize we are not alone. I mean, you and I, who knows if we'd ever met had it not been for Twitter. But it's interesting. I've met several people from Australia via Twitter. So a shout out to your friend in Australia. Thank you so much.
And all the people on Twitter. Well, it's time to go. And I just want to thank Mark McIntosh one more time. Go pick up his book, Lemons into Margaritas. Visit him on Hey Comeback Coach. Make sure you tell him that you heard him here on The Road to Fabulous. If you'd like to learn more about my work, you can go and find out about my live programs and my products at sandygrayson.com or read my blog at The Road to Fabulous. So now, thanks for listening and for being part of this. And it's time for you to go take one aha, one action, one little idea, and go put it into action in your life. It's your responsibility to live your dreams. It's your responsibility to do whatever it takes to bring your life force, your unique essence into the world, to be the person you came to this earth to be. So no more waiting, no more playing small. Step into your greatness. Until next week, live fabulous now.
You're listening to The Road to Fabulous with Sandy.